it's a work session, do we need to call order?
Or, like, call, I mean, roll? We don't have to do that.
I don't think so. Can we just go around and do introductions for everyone and for the minute taker?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm Sarah Javronik, and I'm staff. And then
Sandy Carter, guest.
John McLaughlin, board.
James Manning, board.
Jim Mattis, board.
Brad Rothwell, board.
Adam Peterson, board.
Chris Sherland, board.
We are all boring.
All but Sandy.
It's only 2 minutes
all
in.
All but Sandy, yeah.
So we're headed.
Okay, so we can begin by approving the minutes of October 15th, 2013. Does anybody have any issues with the minutes? Does anybody want to make a motion on the minutes?
I move their approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
And we have a vote.
Mr. Sherland.
So, because I was present on the phone, I can still...
Yeah, you are here.
Yes.
Aye. Yeah.
Mr. Rothwell.
Abstain.
Mr. Mattis.
Yes.
Mr. Peterson.
Yes.
And Mr. Manning.
Abstain.
And Chair McLaughlin.
Aye.
All right.
Okay, so then the business part of our meeting... with Sandy with the locks update, right? Or is there something else?
Yes.
We can go right to that.
We can go right to that. And then she had a sheet that she emailed everyone.
What's it?
You can call them. There should be one for
well, we
everyone.
Well, we didn't have a quorum.
Okay.
So we got all the Chris. Luckily, like at 7:15 or something.
Anyone?
I was about ready to call the meeting, so we didn't have a quorum.
Okay.
It worked.
That was great last time.
That was awesome.
Now, if we can call in, I'll call in a lot of times.
I just get rid of this.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right.
I like the in-person thing. I think it's more effective or something. I mean,
no, but if
effective,
I'm
but
traveling, you know.
We didn't have any public
hearing. Yeah, we didn't have a public hearing.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
It was a grant.
Yeah. All right.
If we had a public hearing, we wouldn't have been able to do it.
Okay.
I haven't checked into the...
Yeah, we're not going
to. I think he might be able to do it, but I'd rather not.
One good practice.
Yes, I agree with that. But we wanted to approve the grants, so...
Okay.
Seem to be the easiest way, the most effective way. All right, so everyone has a copy of the sheet. If you don't, there's some right here, and I can pass it around. Otherwise,
go for it. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to stand, however you want to address this.
Okay, I'll stand up.
Stand on the table, whatever you like.
I wonder how that is.
Yeah, go down here and
go
up front there, and so we can all see you.
I don't want to do that, but.
Or you want to stay right here, whatever works.
Yeah, this would be great. And I have to preface it by saying Jim should be doing some sort of introduction so that I know what he wants me to say. But I was invited here by Jim to give you guys a briefing on LockFest, and I seized the opportunity to send out this Walnut Falls Locks update, which I know came at the last minute today, but maybe you'll have a chance to read it, you know, sometime. And we have been making significant progress. So sort of a dual report, a brief report on LockFest so you guys can know what happened down there, and a little presentation, and then any questions about this information on locks advocacy, I'm available. I'm happy to answer. So who went to LockFest? Anybody here? Oh, Jim and I live there. Okay, well, that's a good start. actually, that was the first nice weekend in probably 5 weeks of pouring rain and wind. So, you know, we were grateful for the weather. Thanks to that, we probably got 1,600 people maybe wandering through over the course of the 2 days. We had it for 2 days rather than one this year, just to piggyback on the Falls Festival that was going on in Oregon City. And this year's theme was industrial heritage. So we thought it was important to kind of double up on that with the Falls Festival, and because they were sort of echoing the message that we've been carrying with LockFest for all these years. I have a significant partner in crime now. I don't know if you guys are up on that, but she's on here. It's Peggy Siegler, who's the Oregon field officer for the National Trust for Historic Preservation. She's great. She's very experienced, high energy, bright, great partner to work with on saving the locks. And she set up right at the entrance to LockFest a booth with this Unlock the Locks banner over the top, funded by the National Trust. She had washable tattoos, you know, little hand stickers. I had Unlock the Locks on each hand. Jim, did you have one on your face?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, somebody put one on there. Jody had one.
Took me a month to get it off.
So people were walking billboards for Unlocking the Locks on a pretty good scale that weekend. They probably passed out 600 of these tattoos. I personally applied probably 20 to other people.
As it should be noted.
They have to hold their hand. It's really a personal thing. I never really thought about it before I started doing it.
Sandy, in the falls, the Heritage Foundation booth was right next door to Peggy's. So if Peggy didn't capture somebody to tell them about the lock,
Sandy,
then they had to get by Sandy, and that was difficult.
Yeah. Two-tiered.
It was like a two-chamber lock.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And she would get in, in absorbing conversation with folks delivering the education, and if somebody got away, I'd kind of spring up from behind the t-shirt boxes and grab them. So she figures that she was actually counting both her products that she was giving out on our little heritage education theme, and she also had sign-ups for free jet boat rides and stuff like that. She really put her heart into it. It was great. And with probably personally engaged 500 people. Now that's a lot. Thank God they came through in a stream and not in a crowd. We would have had more, I'm sure, but people were mowing their lawns and gardening that day because it was the first chance. We enlarged our actual mailing list with verified email addresses on Locks Advocacy by about 25 people, which is pretty good. Most people didn't want to give their email addresses and stuff, but the interactions were very helpful. You know, I just wanted to let the board know, one of her volunteers was Dawn Krupp, who is the new county administrator, volunteered to work in her booth, and she was able to indoctrinate him pretty successfully. He's an out-of-towner. so that won't hurt to have a friend at the county administrator level.
Wasn't there a core person that went through, too?
The new project manager for the locks, who was replacing Patrick Dyke. I don't know if you folks are familiar with any of the core staff, but Patrick Dyke had been the engineer that had been the project manager on the locks project the last probably 3 years, and he's replaced by a gentleman named Louis Landre, and he brought his wife down, and they were just charming. We're going to meet with them downtown in a couple days at the core, talk about Section 106 and other aspects of getting the transfer of the locks moving, which is a little hard because we don't have the future owner identified yet, but we're getting close.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I mean, I read through this, and I didn't know this, but in 2009, there was $2 million granted?
Yeah.
And did that $2 million cover all the repairs, or was it just like a partial? Or is that thing...
It was...
The $2 million, was that enough to make these things back up to snuff only for them to be closed?
That puzzles a lot of people. The $2 million had to be spent because the locks were overdue for a mandatory 5-year gate inspection.
Okay.
And they didn't have it in their maintenance budget. The gate inspection is huge. They actually bring in a barge-mounted crane and tugs and lift every one of the 14 gate leaves up off of its bearings.
Gotcha.
Inspect it, repair it if it needs it, and then rehang it. And it took like 8 months. So we got stimulus money through advocacy through our congressional delegation to get that done. And after that, the locks were able to operate and open again for about 2 years. And then at the end of 2011, they shut because they were in caretaker status. And they'd already spent more money than they had for them that year just because Wilsonville Concrete Products, which is the Bernert family towing barging business, they were subcontracted to Wildish on the bridge rehabilitation. So they had to work up and down river. They had to mobilize their equipment through the locks because they're stationed in Wilsonville, mostly. And so that was sort of leverage to have the locks operating for 22 days in 2011. As soon as the last lockage on the bridge was completed, they said, okay, you're in caretaker status now. So the only money budgeted for the locks right now for their caretaker status is about, I think, $70,000 a year, which is like once in a while a red light will go on the console and it'll buzz at Bonneville and they'll send an electrician out or something like that. So the money was spent on the gates, got them all up to snuff, and the thing that they've said is the safety risk now is the gudgeon arms. Are there any engineers here? You know what a gudgeon arm is? So the gudgeon arms and anchors are a metal part, long flat part that's anchored into the walls, and the two arms on each gate pin or coin are bolted on, welded on at the top. So it serves as the top point of the hinge of each gate. And they're saying they don't have the money to inspect the gudgeon arms where they go into the rock walls, because a lot of them are actually buried in rock or concrete and they'd have to be sort of taken out to look at. But they're saying they're old. The external parts, some of them are getting some corrosion. They could fracture. It would be catastrophic. A gate might accidentally tip over and hurt someone in the box. So that's why they're closed now, because they can't afford to do the inspection and repairs on this other metal part that they're afraid might fracture. But it's the risk of a risk, and a damn small one. Ask me. Well, they're actually...
Do you have an opinion about that?
Well, yeah. Well, they've put the Willamette Falls locks in the dam safety one category, which is what they use, like, for Bonneville, for risk. And it seems a little overblown to us. Huh. But they have a lot of policies, and they can cherry pick. So we have had intimations that if we do identify another owner in the next couple months and the transfer really starts moving ahead, they might lower the risk level and they might be able to find the money to do the repairs. Because typically they're not supposed to transfer anything that has a liability associated. They would need to transfer a repaired facility. So that's that.
Well, wait a minute, Sandy.
More questions?
Well, share a little bit about the benefits, economic benefits study that you're...
Okay.
Where you are with
We have done a lot of what we've been calling, you know, inside interviews. We've been talking to everybody influential that it might have a stake in this and be interested in it that we can think of, concerned with all the various arguments for keeping them open. So, you know, tourism, parks, ODOT, Governor Kulongoski, we met with him, got his political ideas about what to do. We've met with Darlene Hooley about 3 times, and we've met people at Oregon State that might be interested in turning the locks into, be part of the ownership future, so they could have a satellite campus in Portland with engineering and natural resources down there. So we've had a lot of these inside interviews, and what we were hearing late last year from everybody was, you know, what we really need is data. Nobody's going to say, yes, I'll own the locks if they don't have actual data about what the economic benefits might be or might not be. So we've worked with Eco Northwest, whom probably everybody's heard of. They're a pretty broadly used government consultant downtown. And after going back and forth on the scope of work, we've designed a proposal, or they designed a proposal to meet our needs that would be phased so that if we actually had what we needed by the second or third phase, we could move on it. But potentially it would have like 5 steps, cost $81,000 total, be done in about 2 or 3 months, which is the wonderful thing, and would have credibility, because they do have credibility. And with that, Darlene Hooley and Lisa Nader, who have a private consultancy now, and she's always been the standard bearer for the locks, getting earmarks while they were a possible thing, they are willing to market, take this and knock on doors and do the actual, get the handshake going for who or what combination of parties would take them over. Now, I have a dream team that I've thought of that I think should be in charge of a little consortium in charge of the locks. It has to include a government that can levy or bond, include this in some way of raising, you know, repeatable taxes. And the operating cost per year, running 24 hours all year long, you know, are less than $500,000, or they were a couple years ago. So this is like less than putting in a traffic light. And for an incredible resource as far as maybe getting barging going again up and river and down with containerized agricultural products, you know, letting the tourism, heritage tourism and the boating people count on this as to, so they can write it into their business plan. So we need to study. We have plans for exactly what to do with it, and that's our main push right now. So we've been
fundraising. What kind of volume of traffic was going through before it shut down? And
well, see, that's sort of like the loaded question, because there is no clear before it was shut down, because they were strangling it off for years, for a decade ahead of time.
That's true.
So they even stopped gathering data on the entire Newburgh pool, which is what they're supposed to be gathering about. The Newburgh reach is what the locks serves.
Right.
So anything that moves in that reach, even if it doesn't go through the locks, is supposed to count in their own algorithms. But they sort of let that go. Traffic trickled down. People kept reading in the paper that the locks were closed for some reason or another, and they stopped coming.
Yeah.
Or it was just recreational boaters using it, primarily.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it became much more important to the recreational boater and to the economy that surrounds recreation and tourism when it became part of this Willamette River Water Trail. Because the Willamette River Water Trail third section is from, like, I don't know, Shampooing to Portland.
Right.
So this is a gateway in that water trail, and it's a dramatic, exciting one that people all want to go through in their kayaks and canoes, if you can believe that. and going down is just like a bathtub, so it's a great thing for them. right now they have to pull out and portage again, whether it's the crewing people from the Corvallis to Portland Regatta with the big skulls, or, you know, people reading a paperback while they canoe from Corvallis to
Paddle Oregon.
Yeah, they've all been stopped by this. So. But we also think that even though gas prices are dropping now, carbon credits are in the wind, sustainable transportation on the river is the greenest possible way to go. And that's not, I mean, your heritage, so he asked me to spell out some of this other stuff, but obviously the fact that it's a 140-year-old, high-integrity, functional, historic resource that can serve many functions in the community should be of interest to you guys, and I think it is. So.
And you've got up to 31,000 toward the 81,000 already, and
yes.
The sources of those are?
The Heritage Area Coalition that Jim and I are on, which is trying to get the National Heritage Area established around the falls. They had a benefit dinner last year and raised $5,000 for us, so we've been holding that for this. The National Trust has a $10,000 grant set aside for all of its national treasure projects, and the locks is one of their treasures. PGE is paying $8,000.
You're looking to the city for $10,000?
That's what I'm going to push.
Well, I was going to divide up what was left over after the $15,000. I thought, okay, we've got this much, so $8,000 apiece. But when you really realistically look at the ask, you have to tailor it to who you're asking. And some of these private businesses, like E-Energy, kayaking company, you know, they're not going to come up with $8,000. None of these low-margin tourism businesses are going to have that. So, you know, I've put in some feelers about trying to get a grant from the Kinsman Foundation, maybe a small grant or something. But we've also, Dave Bernert is rounding up $6,000.
Oh, good.
Wow. That's part of the 31. And he is encouraging the Oregon Concrete and Aggregate Producers Association, which is kind of a lobby for the dredge folks, I guess. to maybe chip in some too, because that's a professional organization that supports the business. So he told us to go to Tidewater and Foss and some of the other barge lines and also ask. And those asks will probably be like $2,500 or something that might be within the ballpark for companies that haven't been pulled in on this before. And we're asking Metro for $8,000, and I'm a little optimistic about that actually, because Andy Cotugno is a big supporter at Metro. So,
is that a potential state owner of it, is Metro?
Well, my dream team would be the state, because of ODOT for transportation and Parks and Rec for SHPO and parks and recreational boating. Marine Board could be in there. Metro, they could put it into a bridge levy or some kind of a transportation levy that would where it would make perfect sense and be teensy part of it.
Right.
And the Port of Portland, because if we can show them that we can actually increase the traffic at one of their underused terminals with the containerized stuff, they'd probably pay for the whole operation themselves because it'd be a drop in the bucket to them. So I would say probably the county might manage it if I was dreaming. Or maybe Metro might manage it. Yeah, that's the problem. We have the county and Metro, which don't like each other that well. So the port, the county, Metro.
Still the county, Metro is really looking at, you know, donating.
The state, in terms of the departments that have an interest, a vested interest in this. For instance, ODOT, the high value that they put on it would be for redundancy in case of the Cascadia event, in case bridges fail and stuff. Because there's the locks have been through, they're solid basalt, and they've been through a lot of stuff in the last 40 years. Chances are they might still be there. and even Oregon State. So you could see there could be this fabulous partnership between all kinds of different municipalities and agencies. So that's sort of what we're going to see how that shakes out. And I wanted to present... not a bribe, regardless of what Jim says. This is the poster that we this year.
Nice.
I almost brought you the framed one to show you how beautiful it is framed, but I was too lazy to carry it out of the car. So,
you got it in the car.
It's in the car, though?
No, I was too lazy to put it in.
Oh, I was going to say, because I'll go grab it if you want me to.
Yes, it's raining today, and it's hard to move things like this out in the rain without damaging them.
It does frame up very nice.
So the story behind this is we've always had Lockfest posters, but they've been the Dan Robinson series, which everybody loves so much. But this year, since we were working in synergy with the Falls Festival, Cheryl Snow, who's the arts person for the county, had worked with a local artist named Gene Thomas who had this image. And the Heritage Area Coalition that sponsored the stuff on the other side of the river had picked the industrial heritage theme. This picture just seemed ideal to them. And I didn't have to run the project. So it is on Westland paper as usual. This is a little heavier stock than most years, but locally produced, high quality coated paper with a beautiful image. And we wanted to... let everybody on the board have one in case you want
very
one.
Very cool.
Seriously. So you can pass them around.
Awesome. You get one of these?
The size of the bribe, we charge $10 for them. And so they're free because we have a surplus.
They did not sell them. That's very well.
And in fact, we sold probably only 6 or 8 of them, whereas we sold like 20 of the Dan Robinson old.
Really?
Vintage ones from prior years, yeah.
I think so. Well, I know people collect those.
They continue to.
Yeah.
And if we have another Lock Fest when we have the opening of the locks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one's for Sarah.
There's one left.
Well, that's because there's somebody that's absent, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And there's one left still?
Thank you. No.
Okay.
I can bring one to Thane.
Do you want to give it?
Yeah. Okay, and did you get one?
No.
Oh. I brought 6, right? Oh, 7. Your board is bigger.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll bring you one. Do you think Chris Carroll wants one, too?
I can ask him. So.
Yeah, if he sees one, you can ask him.
Yeah, okay. Sarah really was mentioning she wanted the framed ones.
Sorry, we don't go that far. So anyway, we've been working to make it so this wonderful industrial resource that we have in town can be functional again. We know it can still function because this year it let the Canby ferry through, downstream and up, but they had to do the Volga boatman thing with the ropes over their shoulders because they insisted that they would not let a human being in the chamber. So it's a risk.
It's a big ferry.
And when you think about the risk, you've got something with a 6-foot draft, 40 by 210, that's the pool, and then anytime the gate is open, it's because there's equilibrium between the two. So there is no current or anything like that. This gate would very languidly start to open, and then if it did come off at the top, it would kind of like go like this. Yeah. Well, if it was close to a kayak, it might be a bad thing. But if, as far as barge goes, just clunk it and lay up on the barge. You know? So, anyway, that's
well,
the state of
affairs. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming, yeah, Sandy.
Appreciate it, Sandy.
It just takes money.
Everything takes money, doesn't it? But, you know, in the big scheme of things, if this economic benefit study shows what we believe it will, and we're also going to have them look at the intangible values. Somebody's written a book about this, and I can't remember the title of it, but it's things that aren't in the market, but that are real intrinsic values to the community and society. And this has a lot of that. So they're going to try to quantify that, too. Good luck to them on that.
Yeah. Well,
thank
you. Did you guys have any questions or anything?
Pardon me?
Did you guys have any questions before you...
Yeah, I'm just checking.
I only have one question on this.
Yeah.
It said, I'll find it here. It said there was a savings of $500,000 with the Cambie Ferry bringing it through the locks. How was that estimated?
That was from, what's her name? Eileen Ruggeland?
Because they would
Ellen
have
Ruggeland?
Overland.
Oh, yeah. They would have had to actually disassemble it to truck it overland.
Because
over
now it's sitting
trucks.
Up on blocks on the... approach on the Cambie side. It's still not in the water.
Well, that was another issue.
Yeah.
I think.
It ran for like 2 weeks and then they put a up on blocks.
They found something.
Well, more the reason to keep the locks open exactly. Just because of that faulty ferry that I love so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, they estimated that the round trip probably saved them
$500,000.
$250,000 a throw.
Yeah. Jeez. I read that.
Take it up and down.
That's not bad. Yeah. That's good savings. It would have been a nightmare.
Really?
Figure that in the budget somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the poster.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See you
tomorrow. If you have any, see you at 7 in the morning. And if you have any other questions, you can all email me. I think you've all got my email.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next item, annual report. Do you just want to talk about it or what we have here?
Or so that was last year's.
Yeah.
That was just kind of for.
Can you just copy it to this year?
Well, I was thinking we could talk about it a little bit.
Oh, well, they're all saying they're all effective goals for this year coming up, right?
Most we could do this one for like 2 years in a row. So we. All right,
hold on. Let me
it's a reoccurring thing.
Yeah. Change a few words.
Well,
we've accomplished some of these.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I actually kind of made up a draft answer.
I like really the word ongoing.
Ongoing.
It's a great excuse for everything.
In progress.
Now, we're talking about goals for calendar 2014?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm missing number... Was there a number one?
I think it's just kind of the name of your board or something.
We don't want to change that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good...
tried to move it forward as much as I could. And so what I had in here for please describe your accomplishments basically took all the ones that were on there and just kind of updated those. So we hardly had any quasi-judicial projects, but we have had one of those. We completed the code revisions. Community outreach event, I don't know how much of that we really did, so we might want to think about how we want to do that next year, what we want to do. I wrote that we created the brochures for guidance on historic projects, though. We had used completed surveys to identify additional historic resources for designation, and I don't know that we did too much on that. And then develop and sell signage for district residences. And there is that old home forum in Oregon City that does signs. I I had a contact for. There's also applied for a CLG grant. And we applied for and got a CLG grant. And then sign toppers at intersection corners in the historic district. And we have those designed. And you all looked at them. And then the neighborhood looked at them. And then the council approved the funding last night. So the order went off to the sign company, I think, today.
That's nice.
So hopefully those will get done quickly.
Like in the next month or so?
I don't know the time on everything.
Just sometimes.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It will be.
So any comments on these things? I tried to move that back, but it's kind of hard to read.
So you hit some of the things that we've accomplished in that
right.
List, right?
So this is everything that we had last year.
Yeah, right.
And then I kind of tried to...
I would give quite a bit of space to the code revision. That was...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think that was probably our biggest thing ever.
Do you want me to expand on it then?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I can do that. Is there something in particular you want to say, or do you want me to just...
Well, you know more about than anybody else. I'm sure you can
all right.
Fatten that up to a good paragraph.
So. Okay.
Good. You know, starting... course of the year.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you can.
All right, I'll work on that.
Fluff it up.
Okay. So I think for the ones where there was some kind of goal and accomplishment, I think I'll just kind of copy and paste those in there.
Excellent.
Then the next one was, what types of issues, programs, events, activities did you work on and accomplish? I think it was basically saying to see kind of what we described above. And then we also looked at one of our meetings. We had a training session on legal issues for new and existing members. Is there anything else that I missed?
You did create those user-friendly brochures.
I had that. Listed. I had that in another one. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I guess maybe it's with code revision, with meeting with the neighborhood association. Board members did meet.
Okay.
I don't know if that's something you can add. That was, I mean, it was something.
Mm-hmm. That was for code revision and sign toppers, right?
Yeah, both.
No, that's true.
Okay.
For both.
So you could put that with community outreach even.
Okay.
I mean, anything like that shows that's something that went beyond.
You can work it into above, I think. So above, let's go to the top. So... pretty basic, but so for the code, saying that the code revisions were approved by the council in July, This involved work with consultants funded through a CLG grant, several meetings with the technical advisory committee to discuss the project and proposed revisions, meeting with affected residents, including historic review board members. Review by the board and review and recommendation by the planning commission?
Yeah.
Okay. And then going down to those street signs, reviewed by the historic review board and the historic district. Historic review board.
Neighborhood association.
Yeah, neighborhood association. Including historic review board members. And the historic district. Okay. What else? What else did we work on and accomplish?
We gave an award.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two awards.
Right.
Speaking of those, are we going to do the award in May again this next year?
Yeah, every year.
Because we did it late this year.
Yeah, but we have to do it every year.
Yeah.
To get preservation awards to Peggy Sigler and Sandy Carter for their work on behalf of the National Trust and Willamette River Coalition for their work on the Willamette Falls locks. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's about it.
Yeah. All pretty good.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Okay.
It's only November.
So. Yeah. We still got another meeting.
I think at least a few of you went on a tour of the mill.
The mill.
The mill. Yeah.
And kind of around near the locks. Do you want to talk about that or not? No?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So what challenges did you face and how did you deal with them?
Well, we just leaped over tall buildings.
Just change second to third, maybe, or something. Yeah. Or second year will be the third. Is it the third year?
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Well, do you think you're running smoothly yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I think so.
Are we?
Yeah.
We're running pretty smoothly.
For whatever there is that comes up.
Yeah.
I was going to say, nothing has really come up.
Yeah,
oh,
6 months.
No
major
challenges?
Oh, well, now wait a minute.
we have one more member this year than we did last year, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Would that be like, you know, it is an accomplishment? Or?
Sure.
Be there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Filled all vacancies on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we did that.
Well, I think we would want to still secure grants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to do that as our goals and plans for next year?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to just move on to that one?
Oh, that over here?
Yeah. Number five.
Okay.
I think the first thing you can keep in, the second one you can probably cross out.
Cross it out.
Probably continuing with the third one.
Yeah. You can still do the fourth one. Cross out signage.
Okay, so I didn't keep this one as well. I didn't keep track of this as well as some of the others. So I'm going to type all of these in, so you can tell me as I keep going which ones I need. So we kept one.
Yeah.
We finished two.
Yeah, you cross out, you keep three and four.
Keep three? Okay.
Five and four.
Let me just open that up. It'll be easier. Okay. Okay, so I am keeping one. Keeping one, removing two. Keeping three.
And four.
And four.
Remove five.
Remove five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we going to apply for grant for...
We can't do it until the next year. Or only every 2 years.
Yeah, which, yeah.
But can, so you can cross off.
Yeah.
But can we broaden that, though? I mean, there may be other grants.
Other grants.
For other relevant grants.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can, like Kinsman Foundation.
Okay.
Then the last one's crossed off.
I would like to suggest another one.
Okay.
Focusing on a piece of our charge in the ordinance that created us. Subject to council approval, seek, accept, and expend public appropriations, grants, and gift funds that will further the protection, enhancement, and appreciation of the city's historic resources. So in line with that, I think we could be an advocate for restoring the locks and transfer their ownership.
I agree.
That would be five. The next one is challenge and obstacles in 2014.
Yes.
So I would say the first one says filling vacant positions. It would probably be more of requesting HRB members to renew or reapply, I guess I should say.
Okay. Maintaining membership?
Maintaining
full membership of the historic group. And then the same for number, put that
keep
again.
Number two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number seven. If that's challenges, I think the one that you just listed is going to be a challenge.
Yeah,
next year. It's going to be an opportunity, but it's also going to probably be the biggest challenge we have for the year. So
that would be number seven. You've got the same thing. Put the same things again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need any specific training to assist your work or goals?
I don't think so. Do you remember when you first came here, Shippo was putting on something in Oregon City?
Mm-hmm.
Have they done anything like that?
Yeah, those are the
in this area.
Those are the ones that I send you. Mm-hmm. Nobody goes.
No, but they're usually in different parts of the
Corvallis
state. You know, or who wants to go to La Grande or Medford? I'm just thinking.
No, the last one was in Dayton. It's just like an hour.
I don't feel as guilty.
Yeah, but I think we'd go more if they're in the. I would assume they would have one in the metro area.
Don't
they had it in Dayton. They've had it in McMinnville. They had it in Cottage Grove. That was a long ways.
Cottage
Grove's a ways. Like they had one in La Grande.
Baker.
Yeah, they
did have
one in
La Grande
and Baker. Yeah.
Baker City would be cool.
Yeah.
But not for
seriously.
If it was a Friday, you could spend a weekend there because it's a neat little town. But
they have the Geyser Hotel. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah.
Well, we probably ought to keep something, though, keep our eyes out for
appropriate training opportunities.
That's cool. Keep sending those things so we know when they come. There you go.
And send it. You have to go to this one. Just say that. You have to go to that.
I'll say that
this is a mandatory
one.
You have to go to it.
This is the closest you can.
Something within 100 miles, but still send out the email. Just make that the goal. You'll keep sending that out. Hopefully,
I do
we'll
getting
bite.
Those emails.
Yeah.
Nice to see.
I always think about it. Like,
yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Wednesday and spend a day and a half.
Then the baby cries or something. Yeah. Life gets in the way. But keep us informed.
And I have gone to the ones in McMinnville and Dayton, and I think they're usually pretty informal. They're free, and they're not
Yeah, yeah.
Too hard to get. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
good training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We'll try to do better, sir. We'll try
again. I actually use it for continuing ed. Sometimes I've been.
Some of those I think you can, probably. And then they do have that grant. I've never tried to apply for it, but I think I usually
I always
send
think,
you,
oh, I could do that. I could get into that. But then I...
And you can get it. You can get continuing ed, I think, for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you. I don't know if you have any sort of. But you might be able to pass it off as something work related.
Oh, it could totally
maybe.
Be.
Yeah.
Right
off. Either. I'm not sure. but they have those. They have grants that they send out, and it's basically kind of go to any conference that you want to anywhere, as long as you can explain how it will help you.
Nice.
And you can pick what conference you apply for. I don't know how successful, how many of these they have, and how many people are awarded them. But they usually send another email that says that they're extending the deadline. And that, to me, usually says that they don't necessarily...
Yeah, they're going in.
No reason.
Keep sending those out.
Yes. So we booked the room. The food's coming.
No. Yeah, so if...
Keep sending the emails.
I'll keep sending the emails. Yeah. Okay.
So that means, are we on
like Vegas or something?
Yeah.
You can find these conferences, and it might be in
just
Vegas.
Depends on where they're at, you know.
Instead of doing like 20 different ones a year, just like one big one.
One big nice one. Yeah, right on the strip.
I don't know if those are very often in Vegas, but there's usually the National Presentation Conference.
Lots of conventions based there.
And then there's the National Association of Preservation Commissioners has one, too. It's a national conference. I don't know where that one is. Those are usually the biggest preservation-related ones. And I went to the one in Spokane last year that was...
Christina went too, right?
Yeah, they had the Oregon Cultural Trust worked with...
yeah, show us pictures. I thought about going to that one.
The organization's name I can't think of, and I got a grant to do it, or a scholarship to do it. So, I mean, it didn't...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is that the one that Alice Norris and...
Alice Norris went to it, and Jody went to it.
They presented,
Sandy,
actually.
And, yeah. Sandy had the same grant, too, or the same scholarship. So, it's possible.
I've got to run.
Okay. Thanks for coming.
Number 8, last one, right?
Yes.
So the first thing's crossed off, don't have that. Surrounding rooms are each other, residents, owners, and tribute properties.
And we were able to do that again.
Mm-hmm. Put that, I think. That would be it. Unless somebody could think of something else.
As long as we're talking about the rocks.
Saying, Chris?
I just hope we talk about the locks in that last one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be like a monthly update thing. Like in Oregon City, there's the Ermatinger house that's like falling apart, but every month in our work session, we always have an update about what's going on, where they're getting the money, is it going to survive, blah, blah, blah. You could do that with the locks.
Yeah, sure. That'd be a good one. That'd
locks are, that's such a huge thing to,
yeah.
It'd be good to know what's going on with it and see where it's at. Who's going to own it? Who's going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. Of course, we all will, but
yeah,
one way or the other.
I'm all right with that.
$500,000 a year. The Port of Portland seems like the one that would be best suited for it.
Oh, they'd be obvious, but awfully hard to get their attention.
Yeah.
Keep trying.
Yeah, you can fly a plane.
It's too far away. Right now, anyway. Yeah. Hanjin field.
So continue.
Metro is a good one too because they like to gobble up vacants and you know.
Right.
Monitor or watch.
It's Metro, just a lot of liability.
Lock stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Metro. You could even get on board with the Riverwalk to go out of the city's hands and give that land to Metro along the river, and then they could do that. They wouldn't
status
honestly care what it
might
be.
Well, the same would be true in terms of status for whatever.
I think the rehab grant, you can do that again. I mean,
okay, well, we can't apply for another one for next year, or we could still write it in there.
Yeah, we can write it in.
I hadn't thought about Oregon State. I think that's a really cool idea.
It's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would say that. Mm-hmm. Be done.
I think the only limiting factor to them would be facilities on site and parking.
What about being kept abreast of the
legacy project over in Oregon City, at least on
the what project? I'm sorry,
the legacy project.
Yeah. Oh, the legacy.
And then our own Arch Bridge Fulton planning effort. It's just getting started.
Yeah.
Wouldn't do it on a monthly basis. But.
No. But yeah, I'd be curious to know what's going on with the funding that came for the Arch Bridge and what's happening with that.
So what
would they get? A couple hundred grand?
220.
Yeah, 220.
220.
I'm going to write on here that it would be beneficial to be able to extend the grant to historic landmark property owners and have it and just have the city fund it. I don't think that's going to happen, but I...
Aspirational, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I take it there's nothing for next month, so we don't... If there's really nothing, or then we just won't meet next month.
I think it's unlikely. There is...
What's the date? 17th.
Let me finish writing this, because I'm really bad at trying to do things at once.
That's why we're testing. You said the 17th?
17th of December.
Yeah. It's pretty pale. There's nothing pressing.
Did you guys see this that I sent out?
I read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of whereas.
Yeah. Love those whereas.
Whereas. Therefores.
Whereas, give us $10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the bottom line?
Yeah.
Okay. There is one property owner. I don't know if they need... Well, anyway, there's one property owner who has had... who started doing work. Neighbor reported them for doing work and wanted to know what they were doing, and they didn't have a building permit.
What were they doing?
They're putting on a rear dormer addition.
Without a permit?
Without a permit and without review. And so they've since had a pre-application conference, but then they haven't turned in an application. They've now sent in a letter saying they want to be removed from the district. And so I haven't responded to it yet, but I'm working with the city.
Where are they in the district?
Response.
Did the...
And they were allowed to continue all work that wouldn't affect the historic review board review, because they were doing a roof, and we weren't gonna tell them they couldn't do the roof. But they weren't allowed to do any more on their dormer addition or anything else that would require...
Front of the house or back of the house?
Rear.
But they didn't have a permit, so the city should have...
Right.
Red flag that.
Well, they couldn't do any work that required a permit without getting the permit.
Right.
But then, for the building part of it, and then I wasn't going to allow them to do any work that would have required HRB review without having HRB review.
Right. And now they want to be removed because they don't want to deal with all that.
Right.
If they're trying to skate in without a permit, you know, then obviously they don't want anything more to do with any other city entity.
And it was someone that I'd emailed and corresponded with and talked to ahead of time.
Really?
Huh. Interesting.
So there's that one that's kind of been on the periphery for a few months.
So what's the punitive we could give them then?
Wow. What are they thinking, man?
So I don't think that, timing-wise, I don't think that anything would be ready to come to the board for any kind of review in December. But that's sort of out there.
They might have a review item.
John, thanks.
I don't.
That's uncomfortable.
Well, just scheduling hearing dates and things like that, and newspaper notification and all that. I mean, I don't have an application of any sort, so I don't feel like there's going to be anything, but that's just that sort of mentioning that.
Yeah. Keep it in mind.
So are we at business from the Historic Review Board at this point, or have we finished that up?
I think we're done, right?
I don't know if it fits into goals, and I don't know if there's anything we can do about it, but... Mm-hmm. From my own experiences with historic versus building department, there's some disconnect, and it sounds like this is an example of that, and that the building department doesn't seem to be very friendly towards historic properties.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're just doing their job. They might be naive toward it, but...
I guess that's more it, is a lack of education.
It could be.
And I wonder if there's an opportunity there.
Mm-hmm. I got a thing, I got a book about energy efficiency in historic buildings. Well, I should go grab that and show it to you and see if any of you want to read it. But anyway, I gave it to the building official.
Well, the other thing is, I've known Dave and Jim for 18 years.
Yeah.
And I have to see Jim on two inspections this week. I could just talk to both of them and say, hey, if you guys ever have an issue, you can talk to Sarah or they can call me. I've known them for so long and they know what I do. I don't know if I could start that rapport and say, if you guys ever have a doubt.
They do. And I think they're pretty good about it. And I have them all flagged and I have them all flagged in their permit system now. So whenever something comes up with a property that's in anything that this group has a review of, it pops up that says, talk to Sarah, basically.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's a flag. That's a great flag.
Yeah, in and of itself, it's probably good towards helping make them aware.
Or they might say, it says, talk to Sarah. Forget it. I'll move on.
Well, it comes up for a lot more things than I think we kind of initially thought it might. Like, if you're going to change the furnace in a 10-year-old building on Willamette Falls Drive, it comes up now.
Go to lunch, and talk to Sarah.
Yeah.
Take off early, talk to Sarah.
Yeah. And so there is that part of it, but I think they know that for the most part I care about exterior.
Yeah.
I know that on a property that is catty corner from where you live, mm-hmm. they've been doing some work. And
exterior work?
The
chimney folks?
Yeah.
Somebody's are they repointing or restoring it?
No, they tore it down.
They tore it down. And I said that as long as they rebuilt it.
Was it a flue or an actual chimney?
It's a chimney.
It was a chimney.
Oh, for a fireplace.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh. Extensive. The house is just about bulldozer ready. It's in really poor.
And I tried to encourage them to apply for the rehab grant. Not that that was going to make a huge dent in the work that they need, but it still would have been a $2,000.
It's not the owner that lives there.
Yeah, I know.
It's a rental.
It's a renter. And the owner refuses to sell it, even though the renter would like to buy it, but the owner won't maintain their historic property, and it's kind of a mess.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I've been trying to make it as much as I can do for them to make it so they do something.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was some progress last weekend.
Because I want them to do something, and I want them to do something that will be good. And then when they need to get, I was trying to make it so they can get review for things that
will make it better.
They really, really need it that will make it better. But I'm trying to stretch that. Building materials when deteriorated provision.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Alrighty.
I don't know if there's any others, but those are the two that I think have come up the most, or have come up recently where it's really been some kind of an issue. Okay.
I could talk to those fellas too. I talk to them enough. Just say, if you have a question, I'm always available.
Yeah, and I think that that's a good, that'd be a good way to go.
Yeah.
If that would help.
Okay.
Okay. Business from the Historic Review Board then?
Well, I sent out what I would hope we might adopt as a resolution that basically asked the city to get behind the economic benefits study to the tune of $10,000. And I would suggest, that would be part of our advocacy on behalf of the locks.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to go to the planning director, the city manager, city council, and the mayor. And I sort of, the whereases are saying, why this is so important to the city and to the...
Is that something you want us to sign and endorse?
I would like us to pass it as a resolution of the board.
Okay. I would make that motion.
Should we do that now? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to do a roll call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fill in whatever.
Yeah. What's their commitment? Money with your mouth.
All right. So, Mr. Sherland.
Aye.
And Mr. Mattis.
Yes.
Mr. Peterson.
Aye.
Mr. Manning.
Yes.
And Chair McLaughlin.
Aye.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you.
So that can be passed on to all those people.
Yeah.
And if it's okay, I'm going to see if Jim will do that for me.
Just go. I do anything.
Barrel down those doors and just stomp in.
Do me a favor and let me know when you talk to the mayor.
Was there anything from you, Sarah? Or we,
okay.
Is that it?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, then we can adjourn.
1 hour. Look at you.
1 hour. Look at me. Look at us. Ooh.